All right, good morning. It's 9:00. We'll call the May meeting of the Gambling Control Board to order. I'll begin with introductions, worst of the board, and I'll begin standing at my right.
Robert Harmon, board member from Raymond.
Al Schofield, board member from Winthrop.
Greg McNeil, board member, Fairfield.
And I'm Tim Doyle, I'm chair of the board, I'm from Turner. Barbara Dresser will be joining us in just a couple of minutes. Next, I'd ask the executive director to introduce himself and his staff.
Good morning. With us today from the operations from the Gambling Control Unit, we have Mallard Riley, who handles licensing. We have Mendy Yasqui auditing, and Detective Don Armstrong, the state police.
Okay. And with us are two representatives of the Attorney General's Office, and I'd ask that they introduce themselves.
Katie Johnson.
Ron Gay.
Okay. Next up will be the approval of the April board meeting minutes. Those were sent to the board ahead of time. Ask if there's a motion.
So moved.
Second. Any additions, corrections, changes? There she is. Seeing none, those in favor? Unanimous. Brings us to the executive director's report.
Okay, Mr. Chair, members, good morning. In the area of operations in April, there were 21 shipments of machines and/or associated equipment shipped to or from licensed facilities. On-site inspections completed 681 observations, 30 checklists. There were three minor violations being monitored from our activity log. There were no patron complaints, and six dispositions of formal reports were sent for members' review per statute. There were 18 self-exclusions. For the month of April 2018, we have identified an increase of 4.2% in total tax revenue for both facilities versus April 2017. Year-to-date, we have identified an increase of 6.9% versus last year at the same time. Oxford reported 10.3% win for the month of April from slots and 26.3% win from table games. Oxford's payback percentage for April was 89.8%, with an average gross win per machine of $209.02. Hollywood reported 10.8% average win for the month of April from slots and 28.4% win from table games. Hollywood's payback percentage for April was 89.3%, with an average gross win per machine of $146.20. That's my report.
Okay. Any questions of the executive director? Seeing none, that brings us to the state police report. Detective Armstrong.
Good morning. There isn't a lot to report. There haven't been any major issues at either casinos. Last month, I reported looking into a theft on that case. The victim didn't want to prosecute that case. For complaints, there were 10 thefts since the last board meeting. Eight of those, all the funds were recovered, and then the other two, the people were unable to be identified, so we have no idea who they were. License investigations conducted, 27 new were completed. There are 54 renewal licenses that were also completed, and 43 are still pending. And that leaves me with calls for service for local agencies. Bangor had 13. In the last couple of months, I haven't been getting a response from Oxford. I think it might be a transition. They just had a new chief, so I'm going to have to look into that, and I'll get those numbers for you the next time I report. That's all I have.
Any questions of Detective Armstrong?
Nope.
Seeing none, thank you. That brings us to unfinished business. We've been looking forward to this explanation. There's a request to delay the funds calculation for a week beginning in July of 2018, and I'd ask the executive director to explain that. I think he may have brought some backup with him to the meeting today for help.
Yes, I did. We tabled a request for approval to allow us to hold back one payment and the collection of funds for distribution by 1 week. Chairman Doyle and other members were concerned about fund allocation by those receiving the distribution. Today I asked the Director of Administrative Finance Services, Director Catherine Wiltuck, is here with us today to answer any questions regarding the processing and payment and the allocation within the fiscal year. And I think that was the concern.
Our big concern, obviously, is those receiving payments. We don't want to short anybody a payment or put a financial stress on people that are used to getting the money on a weekly basis. So we want to make sure that everyone's whole, that everyone knows what's going on, and that this doesn't change the amount of money they receive in a year. So beyond that, I don't think the board has a great concern with doing it, as long as we can do it in a way that satisfies everybody.
I actually met with Catherine and the Assistant to the Commissioner, Janet Joyner, and I guess Catherine can give a little bit more of a description of the process.
Catherine, for some time, I'm happy to see you here.
Thank you. Do you want me to come up here? Hello.
Hello.
Catherine Wiltuck, Director of Security and Employment Service Center. So we do the processing of the financial piece of the gambling receipts. And I can tell you that when we get the information, the money is transferred to Treasury, and then we get the information that day so that the next day we can process the cash receipt. So we have the actual official kind of matching the state's accounting records. And that can happen immediately the day after. So for all of our internal recipients, like Department of Education or that sort of thing, it happens pretty quickly. The complication arises for those entities for which we have to send out a check. And for those, we have to get the cash in, and then we have to process the payment. Checks are only run once a week, so we can process it. It's generally an over $5,000 payment. So as long as when we get it in, that's usually a Thursday. So that means it doesn't go out to the next week anyway. In terms of any sort of delay, this will delay a payment for one time, but it won't change the overall amount that they receive. So at year end, things are complicated because while we have received the cash, we also need a legislative approval to pay any amount. And that has to match the Revenue Forecasting Committee. So sometimes the Revenue Forecasting Committee does not forecast absolutely correctly, and we receive more money, in which case we have to delay a payment. So these kind of delays already happen. We do a pretty good job. The Gambling Control Director will usually send out some sort of notice that the payment's going to be delayed because we don't have the authority to pay. But the full amount is always transferred to all the recipients.
Okay. So beginning July 1st, that first payment would be delayed into the second week of July.
Yeah.
When is the catch-up? Is it in the second week in July they receive a larger than normal check?
I think it will just be that it's delayed, and I don't think that there's actually a catch-up, because every week we receive the same amount of information. So we'll be receiving it every Tuesday, I think is what you said, Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So we'll be receiving it Tuesday, so that check will be able to go out that Friday. So that's how we'll operate.
Okay.
But ultimately, they receive all of the funds that they're entitled to.
Okay.
So just on that point, yeah, I thought last time we talked about it, I understood there's not a catch-up. So for those organizations that are not internal, they're going to only get 51 checks in the ensuing fiscal year, and then on they'll be 52.
I would say that that's correct.
Right. So there's never a catch-up.
But they get all of the money that they're entitled to. They get all of that money. And now we've had some delay as well.
Right, so.
I don't know how they run their organization sometimes, but at least for the first year, they're going to get 51 payments.
I believe that that's true. There's not going to be a catch-up. Would you agree with that, Mel?
Might be.
Well, one check, well, one's being delayed,
right.
So it's
yep.
Going to be 51.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just ask a question. I'll turn it over to Ron. So there'll be 51 checks, but let's say my first check as the city of Bangor was supposed to be $20,000. I'm going to get in my first check maybe $40,000, even though there's be 51 checks. I'm going to get all the funds I was entitled to.
As I understand it, what happens is currently the week closes, let's say Wednesday, but there's some back and forth that has to happen. So we generally send the check out the next week, that Friday, based on information that's not quite correct. And this will give, by waiting until Tuesday, which might delay the check, it means that overall, there's not going to be that kind of back and forth or catch-up or tracking that's necessary. But I believe it will be the same amount, because it will be that week's information, we just won't get it until Tuesday rather than...
The week's information will be higher, therefore the cascade will be higher.
Wouldn't it just be changed?
Another way to look at it.
Now, well, I think when it comes to the checks are already, the check recipients are already getting a week later. So that won't change, because there's a cutoff to get those, to send those checks out. And typically, I think it's like Wednesday at 3 o'clock, so if they don't have it in by 3 on Wednesday, which never happens, the checks get written on Thursday, but they don't actually go out till the following weekend, or the following week. So the ones that are getting checks will actually be getting the check in the same week that the other payment would be made, that the wire payments would be made. So that's kind of the difference. There is a week delay. It would be an issue where I would write out a letter and say, allocate, you know, for the next fiscal year accordingly with this in mind. But then at the end of the fiscal year, as Catherine, and my understanding is, at the end of the year, that money still gets allocated. I mean, it's kind of in the queue, and then when the legislature or budget committee approves it, then it all comes to the facility. So there's kind of already delays in the mix, but...
Right, and that's happened to us in the past, where we've had cash but no allocation, so I understand that. I just want to make sure that everyone gets the entire amount of funds they would have normally got, albeit in 51 checks instead of 52. And I heard from Catherine, the answer to that is yes. That satisfies me. I just want to make sure that, you know, unlike in days past where there were financial games played, so to speak, to balance state budget, that's not what we're doing here. We're just trying to accurately send out checks based on numbers, and to be accurate, we need a couple days to get the information audited, adjusted, and then sent out.
That is correct. So, because right now, it's a lot of manpower, it's a lot of hours, both on the facility side, Scientific Games as our overseer of the central system,
yep,
and for us as well. And so currently right now, we're basically making adjustments every week, because we're really not that sure, because we're under the time frame, a very short time frame, where if we could get that extra 24, 48, 72 hours at the most, then we can get it down to the penny, and it just makes for a lot less work.
I didn't get that from the conversation, but so we'll just ask it again. I don't want to belabor this too long, but is it true then, in a fiscal year, you're going to get the same amount of money, but it's just going to be 51 checks versus 52?
The hard part that, when you ask a technician, which I'm a technician, the hard part of that is it depends on when the fiscal year ends, as it does currently. The likelihood they will get all of the money that they're entitled to. Whether it happens all within a 365-day period, I can't say specifically, because it will depend on when the checks go out that particular year. We have that problem now where, you know, if we receive the money on June 30, and that's the Wednesday, then that wouldn't go out until later as well.
But then the next check in the next fiscal year would reflect,
yes,
the funds that they should have received, so. Are there any other, Barbara?
I'm struggling as well.
Okay.
We're postponing payment by 1 week. Have we perpetually postponed that payment that will only be paid at the very end of the payment cycle, whether that be 5 years from now or 50 years from now? Or will that 1 week deferred be added to a payment that is upcoming?
Actually, in my understanding, even like Catherine was just saying, that at the end of the year, June 30th could very well be the first Thursday of the week. Okay, so to end that fiscal year, we're talking about 1 day versus not a whole week. We just don't know what day that 30th would fall under. And so when we're talking about the week delay, we're actually delaying the wire payments,
because the current check issued payments are already delayed by a week. So that won't delay their payments for another week. It'll be, you know, actually it'll be an advantage for them, or I don't know, really an advantage, but the payments will come in on a Tuesday and they'll be able to get them out on the Wednesday, where if they currently, right now, they had to wait another week because they had to get it in by Wednesday at 3:00. So that's really kind of the explanation. So it's just delaying it 1 week, one time, and then it catches up as the cycle goes through. But at the end of the year, the fiscal year, could be just one day in that weekly payment cycle. So theoretically, they could be all paid up till the 30th or 29th of June, and then there would be only one payment due for that fiscal year.
Another way to ask it, though, is they're still going to get their percentage of the cascade that they were entitled to based on the entire amount of the revenue. There are no funds withheld. It's just a matter of timing on the payment.
That's correct.
I think I need a picture.
Yeah.
If you could, for next time, can you just give us a schedule of when the payments would have gone, when the payments will go? Just so that we can get a visual of it, because I think we're struggling with it. Yeah, I'm sure it all makes perfect sense. I just can't wrap my mind around it.
Yeah. I just want to make sure no one's losing any money.
Right.
And I understand.
No one's losing. No.
You know, from my perspective, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of when the money comes in, you're looking at that, trying to true it up, and then get the payments out as soon as possible, as accurate as possible.
Correct.
So week one comes in, you do your processing, that goes out into week two. That's week one's payment that's going out. And then week three is week two, so forth and so on. At the end of the year, you're gonna be doing a final closeout so that all their allocation that they're supposed to get, that's on the books, the cascade, as the chairman calls it, they are gonna get all of that money in that final payment, whatever the true up is for the end of the fiscal year. Is that how you're doing
it? No.
Okay.
How we do it currently is we just do it on a rolling basis. So if the last week splits over a fiscal year, mm-hmm. we don't stop at June 30 and say, okay, well, everything up to June 30, we're going to send out now.
Okay.
We say that week, whether it ends on July 2nd or
gotcha.
June 28th, I mean, we just keep going as it is a perpetual system.
Yeah.
That's how we do it. If it were, like, if there was a statutory change that took effect July 1, we would have to do exactly what you're saying. We would have to prepare and say, okay, well, these are the funds that are collected these 3 days, and then these are the funds that are collected these days afterwards, and we would have to do. But as it stands, because there hasn't been that, we've been able to just keep going perpetually.
I do agree with Barbara, though. I think a picture would be nice, just a flow chart, you know,
sure.
Boom, boom, boom. That would kind of cement it in our minds.
How it is now, how it's going to be, just so that we can, because I think we're all struggling with the same concept that I'm envisioning a deferment that will continue perpetually, and I think we're trying to figure out that is not what's happening, but I can't picture it.
Okay.
So I'm hearing from at least two board members we want to delay till the next meeting. So I just now want to ask about timing. So we're talking about implementing this for July 1st.
Okay.
So if you have a decision on June, whatever our next meeting date is, the 19th, that'd be enough time for you to...
It's enough time for me. Is it enough time for you?
Well, I would have liked to have a little bit more time to get a letter out to say, you know, for the next fiscal year, it's allocated accordingly, and that sort of thing.
Yeah. If you got the letter prepared and ready to be sent out on the 20th of June, that gives everyone a couple of weeks to go ahead and make some changes if they need to make changes.
I'll have it ready.
Okay. Let's do that. We'll table
Thank
it
you.
Back in 1 month. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
All right, so that brings us to item B, the RFP update, financial review of the central monitoring system.
Okay, the financial RFP was published for proposals on May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Questions were due May 11th, and the proposals are due June 1st. Projected RFP committee meeting the week of June 11th to the 15th to recommend an awardee for board approval at the June 19th meeting. And then, of course, course, the awardee will start on July 1st, 2018. As far as the central monitoring system RFP, it's still under current review with the Department of Procurement Services because of the new form that, in the middle of things, we had to kind of change, cut and paste and change things over, so that they're still reviewing that at this time.
Okay. Are there any general questions? What I'd like to do at this point in the proceeding, if you have any general questions regarding those two items, we can ask them now. But we're at a point where I'd like to be able to ask some legal advice of our attorney, and so I would seek from the board to go into an executive session to talk about a couple of items that involve information we need to get from our attorney. I would do it at the end, but I anticipate that it may involve some decisions, so we would come back, announce if we have to make decisions or if there's anything we should then talk about publicly regarding that. So first, generally, in regards to item B, are there any questions of Mill? Seeing none, I believe Greg has a
pursuant to Title I, Section 405-6E, I move that we enter into executive session to receive advice from our attorney concerning the legal rights and duties of our agency.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
Second.
So we have a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor? Okay, so that's unanimous. So because we don't have an executive session room any longer, I'd ask that we go off mic and kick you out temporarily. Invite you back as soon as we can.
Thank you.